bread. We thank you for your sacrifice for us. And Lord, as we partake today, we take it with faith, Lord, that it changes from being just a little piece of bread to being your body. And by faith, we bring your life, your body into our lives, Lord. And it's such a mystery to us. We don't really understand it, but you said to do it and we believe. So let's eat together of Christ's body. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And you invite anyone to partake of this meal. If we just, all we need to do is acknowledge that we are taking your life into ours, your body and your blood. So, Lord, we thank you for this cup. We thank you for your blood shed for us, which we now know gives us the forgiveness of all of our sins. So we thank you, Lord, that even today as we mess up and come to you and say sorry, that forgiveness is there straight away. And we're free from sin, we're free from guilt, from the power that it used to have over us. So today, Lord, we drink of this cup. We drink deeply of your life in us, in Jesus' name. Let's drink. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. How amazing you are. Awesome. So welcome again for those that have come along. This afternoon we have Melanie coming to share with us. So let's make her welcome. And each month we have a theme, and we've had some guest speakers in different events this month. So the last two Sundays we're speaking about everyone gets to play and what's your position. So this week and next week. Can I just pray with you? Yeah. Thank you, God. Wow. Thank you, Lord, that when you call us to yourself, we don't just come on our own to you, but Lord, we're drawn into your family. How awesome is that? That doing this Christian life isn't a solo event, but Lord, it's all of us together. And Lord, would you bless Melanie today as she comes to speak? May she know the authority that she already has in you because she's in Christ. And Lord, would you just release the joy of the Holy Spirit in her as well, Lord, that she would come with your word to us with great joy and authority. And Lord, for us, Lord, would we have our ears open, our spiritual ears open to what you want to say to us today? And Lord, I pray our hearts would be really soft in your hands, that you would mold us the way that you want us to live and to live out our Christian life for the glory of God. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Maria. I'm going to rely on you to do the clicking. Thanks, Eve. All right, before I start today, I wanted to share with you a couple of little stories that have occurred probably over the last 6 weeks or so. And as I came to consider the first of these couple of weeks in this topic around everyone getting to play and really truly knowing what our position is in that game of life, if you like, in the kingdom. How do we get to play in the kingdom? I thought these two stories, they really resonated with me. So I want to share them with you before we really get into the meat of today. As most of you would know, my family and I moved to a whole new suburb and area earlier this year. And as a family and as individuals, we have had to begin the process of getting to know and becoming a part of a new community. Now, Zedekiah, being very active, loves playing soccer. So his school, unfortunately, doesn't have a soccer team, so he's had to join a second community he's had to join the new soccer team. It's an under-8s team. Unfortunately, most of the team is actually made up of 5- and 6-year-olds. Very little people. They're very new to the game, but there are a couple of 7- and 8-year-olds like Zedekiah who know the rules and are quite skilled at what they do. The coach is allowing each of them to find their best position in the game and stretching the experienced ones in the skills that they already have. And at one particular game, Zedekiah very confidently acknowledged that there are some people on the team who are definitely not made out to be the goalie. However, he at the same time acknowledged that the smallest team member is the one best suited to being the goalie. Because Mum, he has no fear. He just jumps in front of that ball. So each has been finding their particular skill set. And they're now in the process of refining and doing the best of their ability. My second story. Thank you, Zedekiah, again, by the way, for being my example today. Zedekiah has recently been having some troubles in his class. He has some beautiful friends with some really big personalities and some even bigger ideas. And this has led to Zedekiah finding himself in just a little bit of trouble just for being near these particular friends. And so at home, we've had a lot of conversations around, you know, what are our best choices? How can we help them? And how can Zedekiah do the best that he can do? And he said something that struck me. Mum, these friends always have the big ideas. And if I don't do what they say, they don't want to play with me. And I can't lead them. I don't have the ideas that they do. But I really want to do the right thing and not get in trouble. And I keep trying, but they keep doing things that get me into trouble. Why do I share these stories? There'll be more on that one later, by the way. Thanks, Eve. I'm just going to read this passage. It's a big one again, I apologise. Romans 12, verses 1 to 13. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one among you, do not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. If one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts or encourages, in his exhortation or in his encouragement. The one who contributes or gives, in generosity. The one who leads with zeal, and the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil and hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honour. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit and serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. So what struck me about both the stories that I told is it actually doesn't really matter what aspect of life that we consider. Whether it's a kid's soccer game, or maybe for you it's standing in the supermarket line waiting to pay for your shopping. Any part of our life, we have gifts to bring and a purpose in fulfilling them faithfully. As individuals, we are called to spiritual worship that involves every part of our bodies. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Now, we often explore this verse with regard to keeping our physical bodies as a holy temple to the Lord. I believe that this is also using every part of our body, our heart, our mind, our soul and spirit, in everything that we do for the Lord. And so I went a little bit further just this morning. I felt the need to unpack this a little bit more. That word present, you know, sometimes when we present something, we do it and walk away. And that's not what this is. The Greek, parastemi. Anyone in Greek, please help yourself to correcting me. Para meaning alongside and esteemi meaning to place. So to place beside, to place at one's disposal, to surrender, to offer as a sacrifice to God, or to present, as in to present a special offering to God. So every part of our being, all the time, being presented before the Lord. How do we do that? So I'm going to come back to the soccer story, just like in soccer. From tiny little people right through to the professionals, they are in constant training and refining of their skills. Oh, we're getting the other screen. Thank you. Thanks, Eve. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So the Holy Spirit works to transform our minds into the alignment with God's kingdom, not this world. But as we know, any changes that take place require practice and implementation so that those changes stick. So we will come against testing. You want to get better at something? You need to have practice. You'll have testing to practice discernment. And Maria spoke to us a number of weeks ago now about hearing God and what that can look like. And that it's discernment is about listening. It's about hearing and knowing God's will. And this transformation doesn't just stay up here. Holy Spirit's not changing our brains just for the sake of changing our brains. Our minds are renewed into kingdom mindset so that it flows out in everything that we do and say. And as we recognize our skills, what we bring to this game of life, what we bring to life in Christ, to the church as a whole body, we should bring it to the best of our ability. Why? Well, we can look at God's family as one big body, as it says in verse 4 to 5. We're all different parts, but we make the one body, and not all parts have the same function. Every function matters. Now, Toe often says, you know, not everyone can be a little toe. I think probably the best pun I have ever heard. I love it. But I want to explore this a little bit. Because as we go on to the next verse, have I got it up there? Yes. We should not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. We should think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. What is this? It's humility. It's understanding and seeing ourselves from God's perspective. It's not a comparison of others. It is how God sees us, and knowing that God sees us this way and being able to stand firm in that. It's not then taking how God sees us and doing works according to our own belief. It's not striving. It's, yeah, but God's matters this, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this. We don't want to be overachievers in our own strength. So I want to explore this a bit. Imagine the stomach, okay, as one of your body parts. And the stomach knows its place. It knows what role it takes within your body. And it takes on its function. But it decides to work a little bit harder and wants to overachieve in its own function. It would be a disaster for your body, because you would constantly be hungry, and I guarantee you that the rest of the bowel would probably also have ongoing issues. No, don't. Let's not go there. Let's imagine the bicep, just one, deciding to do its own thing and overachieve, to work hard in its own efforts. You would end up with one very lopsided body, and you would disempower all the rest of the body parts. We need to play our part with humility, knowing what God has gifted us in, and without comparing to others. We can be proud of what he enables us to operate in, but without doing so through our own works, only through God's perspective and his enabling. But in contrast, let's say we didn't operate in our gifts at all. We got lazy, or we just chose not to. If your legs became lazy, you wouldn't be going anywhere, which also spells disaster for your body. If your lungs become lazy, you would have difficulty breathing, lack of oxygen. That is also disaster for the rest of the body. Each part has a very special part to play, and it's important that each part does it to the best of its ability. Every function matters. So Paul tells us to use our gifts, the gifts that mean that we can remain in a healthy relationship with one another. And Paul says later in Romans in chapter 15, verse 6, we do this to glorify God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ with one voice. He says in Romans 12 that we do this to love one another. We do this to outdo one another, showing honour towards one another, to contribute to the needs of other believers, to lift them up and say, hey, cheer them on, keep going, and to show hospitality. So what's your position? Like Zedekiah, you may not be the front runner leader. That is a really good thing, because if everyone was a leader, we would have no one following and no one left to implement any of the massive ideas that leaders seem to have. But we are all here to serve one another. When we are contributing to the needs of others and loving one another, we are serving each other. So whatever your function, serve well. For example, Zedekiah and his soccer team, he serves his team really well when he kicks the ball down the field. He's got a powerful kick and good accuracy. Not everyone in his team has that. He also serves his team really well when he encourages them in their roles. With his friends, we've discovered that his quiet voice of encouragement to continue to do the right thing and his stubbornness to keep doing the right thing himself honours his peers, it honours his teachers, and it honours Jesus. Our position in the team called God's family can take on many different forms. And we may find that there's a bit of a consistency, like Zedekiah being an encourager in every field that he seems to find himself in. And so Paul highlights some of the functions of the body of Christ in verses 6 to 8. Maybe you have a gift of prophecy or a gift of serving. Maybe you have a gift of teaching or encouraging others. Maybe you're a giver or contributor. Maybe you're meant to lead or show acts of mercy. Whatever your position, take it on with passion, with love, with joy, and an attitude of serving and honouring your brothers and sisters in Christ, and with the view of presenting yourself in spiritual worship to God. Maybe you don't know what some of these positions are that Paul talks about in the passage in Romans 12. I would encourage you, if you're not sure about some of those and you're not sure perhaps what your gift is, where you can serve best, I encourage you at the end of the service today to find someone and just ask. Because quite often other people will see where you operate in your gifts. It may be that they can just pray with you. Maybe you're still finding your strengths. Maybe you have some idea, but you feel like you're not growing in them. Maybe you've found a couple of positions, but you really want to do well in one. Perhaps you just want a little bit of prayer. I'm happy to pray with you today. If you want to seek me out after the service, I'm more than happy to pray with all of you. Just come and see me. If you can see I'm busy with somebody and you still want prayer, find the nearest person to you and say, hey, would you pray for me? Because there are a lot of people in this room who would be more than willing to set aside a little bit of time this afternoon to pray with you into what your gifts may be and how you can strengthen your gifts. Because every single one of you is important in God's family and your function matters. So bless you.
Now, there's some new people here, so I want to get Ellie and MJ, do you mind standing up? And Mel and Simon? So Melanie already volunteered, and then there's Maria and I. Part of sharing something is to activate it. So Melanie already said, if you're not sure which of the seven grace gifts you have, it's good to acknowledge it. And then, so MJ and Ellie, Simon and Melinda, and Melanie and Richard, and Maria and I are willing to pray for you and probably prophesy. And what we, when we talk about activate, means God already given you something, and you're just like, not sure, you know, like Melanie did say, all you need is somebody to recognize it in faith and just stir up the gifting in you, all right? So we're going to do that after a couple of songs. So those are the people that you can safely go to for prayer.
Thanks, Melanie and Toe. It's pretty awesome that God has made us all very uniquely. And he's raised us to new life, to be new creations, set free to be and do just as God has created us to be. But sometimes in this life or in our journey of realizing that and walking it out, we can feel we're not sure. We can feel a bit of, pushback that we're not worthy. And we just go through difficult times in life, don't we, where walking it out seems tricky. But I just really want to invite the Holy Spirit in to come and have his way right now to encourage us all that sometimes when we're going through hard times, he's made us for more and to realise that. And he wants to keep empowering us. And in this song that we're about to do, it talks about people who went through really difficult times and stories that are written in the Bible, thrown into the fire actually. Yet they didn't burn and they didn't die because God was with them. And so for us to remember today as we sing, as we just let Holy Spirit come and encourage us, just to remember that we've been set free for this great adventure life. that we get to walk out in Christ. So let's stand as we sing these songs. Thank you, Lord.